Minotti, roll call, Mike.
AJ.
The beat. You did it at the worst. God, just say your name.
And Chris.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say, like, you know, my name is Mike Source.
I didn't prepare a verse, okay?
Well, it was kind of hard to riff off that.
Oh, God. Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 31st.
It's
spoopy.
No, Mike, it's the internet. We're spoopy.
Oh, God.
What is spoopy?
It's just spooky. It's just you know how you like bees because they're like say the words wrong?
Yeah, sure.
So that's our brother Chris. Hello. That's the very first time he's been on the show.
Is this the first time?
No, I was on once before.
Like 8 years ago?
Maybe, yeah. I'm about to say, if this is the first time, maybe we should have waited for our 500th episode.
That's okay.
Pretty soon. But Chris is here because we actually have all three been playing Diablo 3 on Switch.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, you're welcome. I have things to say.
You had to, it wasn't just a gift. I literally needed to test the local multiplayer. You guys played it.
Okay, in that case, you're welcome,
yeah,
Michael.
Right, sure. I played it a lot. You guys played it even more than I did.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it, but yeah.
We'll get to
perfect
that.
Timing for me.
But aside from that, just a little Red Dead to talk about. And me and Chris are actually heading off to BlizzCon tomorrow. Woo! Which is right next to a little place called Disneyland. It's got everything that Naughty's crave.
That is true. It's a well-balanced diet.
But, you know, since the Diablo embargo just went up, so we'll start with that. My review is on GamesBeat.com.
What'd you give it out of 100?
I gave it a 90. You know, it's funny because this game came out in 2012, right?
Yeah.
But it's a fun game to kind of not play for a few years and come back to because they're somehow always making it better.
Yeah.
And, like, when the console version came out, I was shocked how, like, oh, this is actually better on console.
Yeah,
this is
work.
It's more fun to play with a controller and, like, with friends or whatever. But then having it on the Switch, I'm like, this is such a great Switch game. It's so nice to just play in bursts and, like, do a mission here or a dungeon here.
Yeah, or quick rift.
Right, and I say burst, but usually that means, like, play it for 2 hours
right,
at
like,
night until the battery dies.
Right. This is the first game, because even, like, when I was playing Zelda and Mario, I tended to play those in dock mode more. This is the first time I've been, like, draining the Switch's battery from full charge.
Now, part of that is the problem with the Switch's battery, but, I mean, we're playing it for hours,
So, they do a very smart thing. They normally, in Diablo 3, you have to complete the campaign once to unlock Adventure Mode. And they kind of anticipated that a lot of people are double-dipping, so Adventure Mode just, from the get-go, is unlocked. Which, but I've done Adventure Mode before, but I never got into the seasons idea in the game.
When did they introduce that?
Well, we're in season 15, so it's been a while.
Like back when we were playing on console, was it?
I think it's been as long as
console. I assume at least
since the expansion
came,
they rejiggered,
which
the game.
Was a wild concept.
Yeah. So if you don't know, basically every like 3 months or so, it starts a new season. All of your old season characters just become normal characters, and you have to create new characters every season. Your Paragon levels reset. Your stash is empty. You're starting from complete scratch. And you just go leveling. And there's these challenges you can complete every season. And with one character per season, you can create a seasonal set that has, like, some unique bonuses to it. So, again, having never done that, I was like, okay, I'm going to make a barbarian. I'm going to look at these challenges. I'm going to go in these rifts and level up. And so I hit 70, which is the max level, and start completing these challenges. And, again, you talk about it as a portable game. It's incredible. You're like, oh, I've got 15 minutes at the end of lunch. I'm going to go do a couple greater rifts.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like, do that and bang those out. Or you're like, okay, I'm going to go do some bounties.
It's too, because it's like, I'm already thinking about, oh, next season, maybe I'll play this class instead, you know?
Well, I've never been wanting, like, end game content. Like, in Warcraft, I always went to, like, level 60. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm never playing this again.
Which is funny, because everyone says that's when the game starts.
Like, Destiny 2, I was like, oh, okay, I'm max character. I'm kind of done now. Whatever.
Right.
Even back before in Diablo, PC, when I hit level 70, like, okay, I made the game.
Yeah.
You created another character.
Yeah. But now, like, this end game, I don't know, I'm just really enjoying, like, the repetitive nature of
plus,
it. It's
plus,
so satisfying.
Since few people are playing it, you guys get to rank in the leaderboard.
I'm eighth in the world!
And third and fourth.
Yes, we are the third, well, we'll say the second ranked duo in the world.
And soon to be first ranked.
The trio. What's our scores upload?
It's so nice to not have to do that campaign because it's like the one thing I really don't like.
I'm still enjoying it.
The beginning's not bad, but boy, in the middle. Act 3 is terrible. The Azmodan act is just the worst.
It becomes a comedy. Act 5 is fine.
It was worth doing. I did up to the Skeleton King. And again, I'm all in. I was like reading guides on Icy Veins, like how to do this, what to equip. And they tell you, like, play the story to at least kill the Skeleton King because you get his crown, which you can use to get an XP boost. And, like, wear that till you're level 40.
See, I thought you just knew all this. Now I know you were looking up.
Oh, no. I Googled it, Chris.
I was like, wow, how's that guy know this?
What do you think? Did he data mined it?
So you guys are actually, I'm playing a barbarian, but you're both doing a necromancer, which you've never done before.
I played it a little bit when that came out for the PC, which was last year, I think.
No, that was like 2 years ago, at least.
It was around there, a year or 2 years ago. And I remember, that was on PC, and I was, like, playing it, and I'm like, but playing that game alone on PC, and again, it's, like, not as much fun on PC. Like, it's not as much fun for me now to, like, click on the screen and wait for my character to go there when it just feels so much more active to use an analog stick and actually, like, move around and stuff. Like, I understand there's a small trade-off with the targeting, but the targeting works plenty fine, especially when so many abilities. So many abilities are AoE abilities anyways.
Yeah, AoE, yeah.
Just about, like, the things you need to target people for a lot of the time are just your resource generators, which doesn't really matter who you're hitting with those.
Right,
they don't
just
get damage. So, yeah, so, like, I didn't really get super into it, but now I'm playing it, and it's just super fun to, like, go around exploding corpses everywhere. Like, even the single class has so many different, like, options in builds. Like, you can do a necromancer build that's really more about, like, all this blood magic, where you want, like, a lot of your skills to drain your life to do extra damage, but you need to kind of balance that with some skills that generate life, so you're not just dying. I'm doing one that's more of, like, summon a lot of minions and also make a lot of corpses, because then I can then explode those for a ton of damage. Chris has spikes or something?
Yeah, it's the same concept, except using the spikes instead of the exploding bodies.
Right.
Yours looks cool. It's just like the way that shit's flying across the screen. It's a cool animation because it has like a kind of momentum.
Smart,
Yeah.
Well, the sound effect that goes with it is just so satisfying.
Mine
doesn't look cool?
No.
Horrible. Yours is fine. Also, aside from the obvious resolution difference, it looks incredible on the Switch, especially portable mode.
A portable mode, I mean, yes.
It's 60 frames per second locked. I've never seen it.
We're playing local. I was playing my TV, and you two were just sitting around me, like, playing on your Switches. Like, it still looked good for me. But, yeah, like, when you're playing it on the Switch, I feel like, I don't have this problem, but people who complain about small UIs might feel that way when they're playing it on portable mode. That doesn't bother me.
No, and I saw that as a complaint on some reviews.
Yeah, I haven't had an issue.
Playing it.
Yeah, I could read just fine.
Right. I mean, I've seen that for even Red Dead, and that hasn't, like, there's things that bother me about Red Dead, we'll get into that, but that's not one of them. But yeah, this is just such a great fit for a Switch, and it's like, it's kind of fun to have, like, a Blizzard game on there, and it, like, works so well.
It's also funny, this is the first time you've ever been able to play Diablo 3 offline.
Oh, really?
It's never had
like
it.
The local.
Yeah, even on the consoles, I think you had to be online.
Really?
It's so weird how much this game has changed from being that always online,
real money auction house.
I remember I don't think the game launched like this, but like in the beta, like you didn't unlock abilities by leveling up. They were drops.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that was
awful.
Weird.
And everyone hated it. Like Diablo 3, like that's kind of why like I want the Diablo 4 still. It's like Diablo 3 was them eventually making something good out of something that was bad, really. It's bizarre. And, like, it'll be cool to see them kind of start from, like,
come out the gate strong.
Even though it seems like that's not happening at Blizzard.
We're getting vanilla. Wow, where's their vanilla Diablo 3?
No one asked you for that.
I don't know. It'd be interesting.
No one.
Bring back the real money auction house.
Oh, my God. Isn't that so...
That's funny.
It's so funny because like they were like, we have to think of a way to monetize our games, and that's what they came up with the first time.
Right.
That was the first thing because Diablo.
Whoops.
didn't work out. It's so man. So now like that kind of I think we should go to BlizzCon just because it's related. I mean, because we thought like we know we're getting Diablo stuff, and everyone was like, let's be Diablo 4, and then they like, released like a post. They're like, hey, we know you're all excited. about Diablo, but like, we're working on a lot of things, and they're not going to all be... They're basically saying, look, Diablo 4 is not going to be...
But did they actually say that?
They didn't actually say it, so maybe...
Maybe they're fucking with us.
I don't know.
Well, they did it with the Switch announcement to begin with.
Well, they claim that that... Like they didn't intend to tease the Switch with that, like, Diablo Lite Switch.
Oh, sure.
And that, like... It was like I don't know, like the web guys were just fucking around, not even knowing that there was a Switch version in development. They didn't even think it through. Again, take that all with a grain of salt. Who knows? Because
so, I think we're definitely going to be getting Diablo 2 remastered, which I'm actually very excited
about.
That'll
be great.
I love
that'll be great.
Still, even as much as I like Diablo 3 now, there's something about Diablo 2.
It has such a different feel.
Its atmosphere is actually scary. There's something about Diablo 3 that is actually creepy.
Right.
I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but there's nothing about that game
You talk about the crappy narrative in Diablo 3. Diablo 2 had a great narrative structure where you're always kind of like one step behind the Wanderer who was Diablo. Spoilers.
It's also smart not to have like too much narrative.
Yeah, it was
narrative.
Just the right amount.
But I guess there's something just more inherently creepy about like there's almost like a Harryhausen stop motion look to like that Diablo 2 graphic.
Yeah, and it adds to that creepiness.
Right, whereas Diablo 3 kind of just looks like...
It's almost too smooth.
Right. Like Diablo 3 looks like every other like... It basically looks like StarCraft 2 or Heroes of the Storm. You know, it's that same Blizzard art style. It's rounded in a way.
Right, right. I know what you mean.
Right.
Yeah, it will be... Like, to have that game, like, in the you know, like 4K widescreen...
It'll be cool.
With up-res graphics, modern Battle.net support. Oh, that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun.
And then, I don't know, like, what else? Like, there's rumors of a Diablo show, like,
on
Netflix,
yeah.
Which I need to still see season 2 of Castlevania. Did you watch Castlevania on Netflix?
No, I have. You
haven't
talked about that before.
I've
season 1.
I don't know. I just can't get into, I don't know.
What?
Maybe anime, I guess?
It's not anime. It's Western. It looks anime-ish,
Western
I guess.
Anime.
It's not, well, it's like, it's even worse. They're trying to be garbage.
but they fail.
I wonder,
like an amiibo.
I'm almost
wondering
if it, like... I thought this would happen like 2 years ago and it didn't, so I wrote it off. I wonder if we actually might just get a Diablo 3 expansion now. Is that actually just going to happen now?
Well, how many were there? Were two?
There's just really
just
one.
And then the Necromancer thing was
no. I mean for Diablo 2.
Diablo 2 just had one.
But it seemed like Diablo 3 was supposed to have two. Like it always felt like the Necromancer was supposed to be part of like a Diablo 3 expansion. There's like. And just released the Necromancer in, like, this little bit of that one area.
What was the story with...
In Reaper of Souls, the story was that the Angel of Knowledge went evil and was trying to kill everyone. So,
okay.
So you killed him, and then at the
end... But there's still never, any ending with Leah, right?
No, well, yeah.
She died.
She died kind of
suddenly.
Not off-screen, but, like, no one commented on it. In a way that I feel like that arc is unfinished. But also, at the end of the expansion, they're basically like, I forget what it was, something happened with that Black Soul Stone, where, like, the end of it is literally Eternal going, oh no, Diablo's soul is free. So, like, clearly opening it up. And usually they don't open it up for, like, the next game, right? Like, at the end of Diablo 2, like, War Destruction, like, all the threats there were done. It's kind of a matter of what else is happening next. So, I don't know, there could be an expansion. It almost has to be at least an expansion, right? Like, because we know that after the main stage presentation, the next thing is what's next for Diablo.
Yeah, it's got to be something big.
I don't know if that can be Diablo.
That's why I almost wonder if it's not Diablo 4, but it's like a AAA Diablo game in that universe, but not an isometric action RPG.
I don't know what other Diablo game you make, except if you want to go the MMO route with it, which I don't know.
I don't think you do. I think you go the Destiny route, the shared world thing, but it's more of like
that's,
a third-person action
just,
game with multiple.
I mean, I assume a Diablo 4 would be a shared world anyways, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not going to be isometric point-click. It's going to be like more over-the-shoulder.
I don't know about
that.
I'd
be pretty upset about it.
I don't think that would work.
It could be cool.
Man.
It could be
cool. At least StarCraft, yes. It never happened. I don't know. We'll see. So, Chris, what else are you looking forward to BlizzCon before we get over there?
I heard something with Overwatch is possibly a big announcement.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're probably going to get a new hero, but people...
Yeah, beyond that, though.
People think there might be like a game mode being announced.
Yeah.
And some people think it might be like some kind of permanent, like... Horde mode style thing, which would be awesome because I love Junkin' Size.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
But I've done it
3 times,
right? And I didn't even really do it too much this year, but I would love a consistent version of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like have you guys in Black Ops 4 have you done any of those operator single-player things?
No. But they are.
No, I did two.
They're okay, and I feel like that would work for Overwatch.
I think it would be a good idea for Overwatch as... Because one of the other complaints kind of about it is they spend all these cinematics and all these comics setting up Overwatch's story, but like,
really
like nothing actually happens like in the current Overwatch part. So
sure
you,
has.
What?
We got Orisa, we got Doomfist Escape, that's all current.
It's not really all that. It's not much. Orisa is literally like a prime example of the problem. Orisa was a character who came out, has like no relation to any other characters. Like it means nothing.
I mean, I will agree.
There's been no progression.
For all the amazing setup they did with the game, I feel like it hasn't progressed very
much. So I'm just saying that this would be an opportunity to do that a bit. To like flesh out the story.
Like
have like a couple Tracer missions. I mean, some characters are going to be so much better for it than others. Like a Tracer. I could play like a whole single player campaign with the Tracer skill set. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know,
obvious Soldier 76.
Soldier would be a little vanilla, but that'll work. Hanzo, even Genji, but like I don't think you could do the Mercy single player thing. I mean, unless you do a two player thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So I mean, I think they could. Can we just say that D.Va short was not good?
No,
I did not like it.
That was the only. Yeah. Even while I was watching, I was like, man, there's something off about
it. What's off about it was D.Va in-game, and the reason why she's interesting is that she's, like, this kind of, like, I don't know if sassy is the word, because that almost sounds sexist. Well, she's I keep saying, like,
cocksure.
I was going to say spunky, and that also sounds, you know, but you know what I mean? She's assertive. She's, you know,
you see her having these moments of self-doubt.
She's like some Disney princess in it. And I like Disney princesses, don't get me wrong, but didn't seem in character.
Well, it's become a trope where it's like, because it's the same thing with the Reinhardt one. Here's this cocky hero who can't be stopped, and oh no, they're in trouble, but they fight with their friends and learn a lesson.
Yeah, it's almost like, look, guys, you don't have to do the whole hero's journey in these 5 minute shorts.
Every
person.
Time,
like,
yeah.
Like some of the best, I like the early ones where there was like two characters each, and it was kind of more about seeing them interact, like the Tracer Widowmaker one.
Yeah,
I just watched them all again recently.
Bastion.
Bastion's incredible.
I like
and the Hanzo
Dragons.
One's incredible.
Yeah, I like Dragons. So, but yeah, that one was like I didn't like the Soldier one that much. But this one was the biggest miss for me when it happened.
Well, you're right. The best ones are when it's two characters.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
And you kind of, because that's what's really interesting about this game is the relationship between these characters.
Yeah. What else are you looking for? Just like
swag.
You love that. You love
the
swag. There was
swag.
Pins. We had fun. I think we're going to do more of this last year. Like just going to like the esports events.
That was fun. One thing I loved a lot was when you were waiting in line to play Hearthstone. I think against a developer.
Oh, yeah.
That was exciting.
Yeah, I played Hearthstone.
Seeing you play, yeah. But, yeah, the esports was great, just being in that stadium with other people.
Right. I mean, we were watching the Overwatch World Championship,
yeah.
And that was super fun.
Yeah.
Even this Hearthstone event was
playing
super
Warcraft
fun.
For the first time.
You played World of Warcraft. That made you do a dungeon.
I
have
no
idea. It's happening again. It's happening.
Well, you see, I mean, you guys will play it there. I'll get to play it at home.
Yeah.
But, you know, World of Warcraft Classic is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Getting a level 15.
That's so nice that
Goldshire.
They always set up the press room with, like, all the demos in, like, a smaller room with no weight. It's so nice.
That's awesome.
Bring your laptop.
Yeah. Play. It's so funny. Well, we were playing Moira last year. That was, like, the big announcement for Overwatch.
I'm hoping with Hearthstone, obviously we'll get the next expansion, but I want a new cinematic. Remember they made such a big deal with that Hearthstone home.
What, that they
were
going to do more?
Well, yeah, they like introduced all these characters. Like, we're going to do all kinds of things, characters, cinematics and comics. They did like one more like short little video, and, like nothing. And like I'm kind of into it,
sure.
So I wish they'd do more with it.
I don't even play Hearthstone, but that cinematic.
Yeah, it's a great cinematic. My kids love it.
I took a break from Hearthstone almost this entire expansion, and I finally found a deck I like, and I'm playing quite a bit.
What is it?
Death Rattle Hunter.
Oh, nice.
And what's interesting is, after the nerfs, I had to get rid of Giggling Inventor and Mossy Horror, which is just a counter to that card. So I was able to just, like, put in high mains, that, you know, that always good hunter card, the lion.
Yeah, the Turns of the Hyenas.
Right, and then I put in that really the one good mech, the legendary with the Divine Shield and the Cyrax.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But I've been having a lot of fun with that. I've been doing really well with that deck.
I love when you guys talk first. Then.
I know.
It's when I zone out in the podcast.
But you are a prime example. Like, if you were to decide today, I'm going to play Hearthstone.
You couldn't.
Like, it'd be impossible.
And I've said that before. And I loved it when I was playing when it first came out, and then I just, you know, got off it. But I could never get back into it.
And I feel like
they need to start selling decks.
Well, no. Or the other easy thing I feel like is, at least as a beginner mode, you have Standard, Wild, and Classic. where it's just playing with the classic and the base cards, at least to get going until you build up that collection.
I mean, the power creep has been so real that mm-hmm. so much, like, it does just feel ridiculous sometimes, and I do almost kind of miss when the game was more tempo-based. Arena's better for that,
right.
Honestly, but I mean, Arena's so different.
So is there a definite expansion they'll announce?
They always
because
there's three every year.
December's when the third one always comes out, so.
The rumor is it's going to be themed around Rakistan, the king of the Zandalari trolls.
Oh.
There are some domain names, there's a supposed link on, like, the Korea site or some other site, China maybe.
That could be cool. A troll expansion.
Yeah, we haven't really had a troll expansion.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, so, and plus it's, you know, thematic. And then we're going to hear about probably 8.2 for Warcraft. That's the thing, like, the Warcraft news, it's only going to be a patch, Hearthstone, an expansion.
I mean, last year was an expansion, so it's,
right.
You know,
that's what I'm saying, you know.
But what Starcraft news are you going to
get? I don't think there's any. I mean, Diablo was on ice for a while, and now it's Starcraft's coming. Yeah. Which is fine, that's the one I've never really been into.
Yeah, too, we never...
I think
I'm on the last mission of the first part of StarCraft.
I played through the first campaign, and it was like, all right. Then I played some of the Zerg one. It was like, all right. I just never couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I never even got it.
I like the story. It's just
it's all right.
Single player RTS is just never fun.
RTS in general, like, kind of my weak. One of my, like, weaker.
Well, recently,
gaming
what is
spots.
There? I guess Halo Wars. What else is there? RTS
Total War, I think, had something come out.
It's definitely not in that Blizzard style that we recognize from, like, Warcraft 2. Now, yeah.
Speaking of, can we get a Warcraft 2 update of sorts? I'd go for that.
Warcraft 2?
Yeah!
Kind of fun. I remember
the way they remastered StarCraft. I want a Warcraft 2 HD.
I'd rather have Warcraft 2. Or even, I know they, like, patched Warcraft 3, but, like, a HD version of that would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't mind at some point seeing, like, a Warcraft 4, but I don't think that's happening.
No, that's...
That's a while still.
Yeah. Because
it's still, like, so, like, how do you... Like, make that work
the lore. Unless it was, like a weird, like, reboot, like, retelling of the original Warcraft, which is what the movie did, so maybe not.
So why don't we talk a little bit about Red Dead Redemption, which is, like...
Have you gotten it, Chris?
I bought it and installed it, but we're heading on the trip here soon, so I felt weird kind of starting it.
Yeah,
and
I know what you mean.
Being anxious to play it more and more.
Yeah, I almost am, like, kind of dreading that, like, leaving it for, like, 4 days and being like, what's it? It is a weird game, like...
It is, but
I really like it the more I play it.
Yes.
But, and I don't want to, like, do too spoiler here.
So, first of all, in the year where God of War came out, I was like, this is incredible. Video games will never look better than this. A game has come out that looks better than that.
Yeah, this is probably the best. I mean, the only thing is, like, frame rate, like, is inconsistent, but it is with a lot of these games.
I haven't noticed it. I haven't had...
When you go inside, I mean, it's 60 frames per second sometimes, and sometimes it's, like,
30. It never goes over 30.
Are you both on the X?
It was 60 at some. Mm-hmm. It had to be. I'm crazy, then.
You
I'm
are crazy.
Sure.
No. Digital Foundry did the math. All right. It never goes over 30.
They would know better than me.
Yeah. But on the One X, it's a locked 4K, which is insane to me that this game could run at 4K like that. You're just constantly taking screenshots. Like, I took a picture.
You are, I'm not.
it's the cameraman in me. But no, like there was a part, you know, in the early game, you're in, like, a snowy environment. Mm-hmm. So, like, me and another guy are riding our horses up a mountain through the snow. And when you go into that cinematic camera, which I really like, it even brings in the bars to make it, like, Panavision widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed the screenshot to my wife, and she, like, I was like, I know you don't care, but, like, this is the video game I was playing last night. She's even like, dang, that looks really good. Cared a little bit. Just a little bit.
What's weird to me is that the problem I thought I would have with the game I'm not having, but I'm having some other problems.
What's the problem you thought you'd have?
I thought I would be really hung up on playing, like, a morally gray gang member. Because part of the reason why I liked Red Dead Redemption is that you're basically playing a very heroic character. I mean, it was clear he had, like, a bad past, and you could play him as evil, but the story beats were redemption, right?
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption. And he was very likable and a good person, and I liked doing that. Whereas Grand Theft Auto games, they're kind of mean-spirited, dark, childish, whatever. Like, that's not that beat. Now, you're definitely not, like, a great person. You can, like, again, there's those moments where you can do, like, the nice thing or the bad thing, but you are still doing, like, a mission where you're going to rob a train, you're going to kill the guards and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're an outlaw still. But it's not mean. I mean, as not mean spirited as murder can be, but it doesn't revel in
it. You can still go into town and like some drunk guy bumps into you and accosts you, and you know, you can be like, okay, well,
it's
like, let's all.
Well, first
here.
Off, it's somehow not as crass, but second off, like. I've accepted it more than I am. Like, okay, yeah, I'm this guy. He's an outlaw, whatever. And that's kind of fun.
Yeah, you're
too.
Kind of playing that role.
Right.
What really makes this game story work for me is the relationship between the characters and your gang.
The gang is cool.
It's so well done. Those characters are so compelling.
And it's one of the reasons why it takes a little bit to get into it, because in the start, you're introduced to almost all of these characters immediately. And you can recognize some of them from Red Dead 1, but you're like, who are all these people? And like 6 hours in, you kind of get it all like under control.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing is that like, so like the game looks gorgeous, like as like this kind of like Wild West amusement park, super fun. The UI is not very good, and the controls aren't very good.
The UI, the way I fixed that is to turn it off.
Oh, really?
And use the companion app. That actually helps a lot with that.
Like the menus.
Yeah,
like,
they're not great. The radio wheel.
There's like six different radio menus instead of like one.
Yeah.
Like when you push, like you can't even when you push start, like. It's weird. It's like the system options instead of just like a map option first, right? And like from there, you push a few buttons, then you'll get to the compendium to see things. Like,
is this something you're getting used to? Or
it's one of those things that obviously gets. It's not one of those things like you get more used to it as you're playing it.
Yeah.
But it's also weird how gamey the UI is.
Yeah. Well,
too.
It would do that thing where like every time I got on a horse, it's like hold A to match pace. I'm like, I know, but then like.
The top left corner screen is dedicated to reminding you about the controls.
But then, like, early, in the first 5 minutes of the game, you, like, get in a fist fight. Okay. And it's, like, real easy. And then, like, 3 hours later, I get in my next fist fight, and I have no idea where the controls are. And it doesn't tell you. It's like, tell me what to do.
Because so much story in the beginning, which I'm fine with a slow beginning. I'm the guy who liked the beginning of Assassin's Creed 3, which everyone hated.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me?
Yeah.
I love
that stuff.
Creed 3.
But the problem here is, like, again, they teach you how to do something. Like, even, like, Deadeye. Like, there haven't been that many gunfights in the first 7 hours of the game. Every time I get into a gunfight, I'm like, how the hell do I use Deadeye again?
Well, so again, I'll keep it vague, but early in the game, you get into another fistfight with a guy, and I'm like, fuck, what do I do? So somehow I managed to accidentally pull out my gun. I'm like, well, I don't want to shoot this guy. How do I put this back now? So I'm trying to figure out how to A, punch him, B, defend myself, and C, put my gun away. It was actually cool. He did this thing where he very organically grabbed my wrist and knocked it down to like make me drop the gun.
And the animation,
so that was
incredible.
Cool. Then I'm like, okay, hang on. Well, okay, the gun's gone. I'll pick it up later. Then I like, pulled my knife and I'm like, hang on, I still want to kill this guy. What's going on?
Right.
What's the punch button?
I almost wish I was playing this on PC just so I could have all those extra buttons.
Right. Because
that's the thing. Like every button does like three things.
Right.
And it's like it tries to be context. Right. That's you know the meme is people punching their horses by mistake.
Yeah, I've been seeing that.
So that's an issue. It still has that rock. Start jank, and I saw a good explanation where, like, when jank happens in Skyrim, it's funny. But in this game, because it's trying to be so realistic and so serious,
yeah, kind
of
weird.
Here's an example. So, like, one of the kind of emergent things that could happen, I was riding my horse along, and all of a sudden, charging down the path the opposite direction, is a guy on a horse with a woman tied up in the back, and she's screaming for help, and he's saying, "This ain't none of your business, don't you mind it," as he rides past. I'm like, well, fuck this guy. So I turn around, and I chase him down, and shoot him in the head. Great. He's down, lady's still on the back of the horse. Okay, well, this horse is still galloping around. I have a lasso. Okay, I'll lasso this horse. So I lasso the horse. So I get off my horse, but somehow that broke the lasso, so now this horse takes off again. I'm like, oh, crap. So I get back on my horse and try to take off running. My horse runs into a tree, sending me flying through the air, also sending the legendary bear pelt that I spent a long-ass time trying to get also goes flying. My bear pelt is more important than this woman right now. So I get the bear pelt. It's like the slow animation of picking it up.
Oh my god. Why do we need to hold down buttons instead of pressing buttons anymore?
So anyway, get on my horse. I'm like, where the hell did this woman go? I could see her. She's marked on the compass, on the mini-map. So I get to her. And she's like, come on, get me off this thing. So you push X. Okay, that picks her up. Now the only thing I could do is push B to put her on the floor. I'm like, okay. I hit B. He, like, chucks her on the floor. I'm like, okay, hang on. We're still good. So she's like, come on, untie me. I'm like, okay. And it's like, B, cut ropes. okay, I hit B. As soon as I push B, the icon for, like, outlaw points comes up, and I'm like, what? And she gets up like, I didn't mean it, and, like, runs away scared. I'm like, I didn't, okay, goodbye.
So, very similar thing happened to me that bothered me immensely, where it was one of these organic events. There's a woman trapped under her carriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and help her. She's like, oh, my, like, oh, I'm hurt. Can you take me to town? I go, yes. And then she's like, oh, you're the riverman, your horse, because I had a deer on there that I kept.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, oh, I got to take the horse down, like, this deer off. I take a deer off. I'm like, well, I can still skin it and get some of the resources. And it's all very slow. So now I'm skinny. The middle of me skinny thing, she's just like, oh, forget it then. And starts wobbling off to her death into the desert. I'm like, no, there's room now. Just give me a second. So I go over to her, like, think I can push button and be like, no, come here. There's nothing you can do at that point. So it's like this weird thing where it's like the game's trying to be so realistic, but I can't, like, convince this dying woman to come with me to safety,
it's,
you know?
It's just the problem where it's not clear what you can and can't do. Because
there's so many
context-sensitive
buttons,
yeah,
and you never know which one's going to be up or how long you have the option to use
them. And the problem is there's so much you can do. It's kind of that uncanny valley of world.
Yeah.
Where there's so much you can do that when you run into something you can't do, it gets a little frustrating.
Right.
Now, having said all that, this game's fucking incredible.
It's great, yeah. It's such an easy game to pick the... Jeff Grubb put it pretty good, where he was kind of talking about how there's almost an expectation that this would be a systems-based game, like Breath of the Wild.
It's not. It's a theme park ride.
It's like all the other Rockstar games, except there's more of it. But because they don't want to... Like, Red Dead Redemption ultimately was kind of a shooting game still. You're spending a lot of time shooting things. They almost, like seem to be backing up from that because, like, well, you're not going to really shoot that many things if you're a real outlaw. Like, it's be realistic. But, like, all these other things that you could possibly do as a cowboy, how else can you convey that without these kind of context-sensitive things? And context-sensitive things could be kind of tricky and they can kind of break easily a lot of time. Like, you know, you're playing a video game. You're not actually walking in a room. You can accidentally bump into a person just because, like, things are kind of awkward, and then all of a sudden they're challenging you to a fight, and, like, you say no, but then you bump into him again, so he draws his gun, and then you're, like, arrested, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, leave me alone.
But my metric for how sucked into a game world I am is when I walk instead of run.
Right, it's
and I do a lot of walking in this game.
It's really pretty, and some of the organic stuff that happens with the people in it just riding around, and the missions are fun. I was playing I got to, like, the mission where you're supposed to play Texas Hold'em, and I'm like, I'll play a couple hands. I just played Texas Hold'em for, like, an hour.
There you go.
You know, but...
Well, and it's funny. I think Allegra Frank was on DLC, and she made this point, but it's not a mainstream game.
But it'll sell like one.
I know. That's the funny thing. I mean, imagine...
Yeah.
What's the most, like, JRPG-ass JRPG you could think of, Mike?
Swank it in 2.
Yeah, okay. This is the Western...
I was right there with that.
You really were. This is the Western version. And I don't mean Westerns and cowboys. I mean, like, America and Europe. That's what this game is. It's very hardcore. Like, it's a sim, or trying to be
Shin
a
Megami
sim.
Shin Megami Tensei 4 would have been my other answer. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's funny, though, about the sales, because they, like, Rockstar released a press release.
Oh, yeah, your headline was funny.
They were like, well, you have the biggest opening weekend of any entertainment property. But you kind of read between the lines, and you realize it's because Grand Theft Auto 5 came out on a Tuesday.
Which is still impressive.
It's still impressive,
oh, yeah.
But it's funny.
It's the second highest of all time.
It can't possibly sell as well as Grand Theft Auto. Unless the Red Dead Online thing is insanely popular.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto.
Is that out now?
No, it's coming later.
Later.
As a beta.
Yeah. So it'll be... I mean, same thing happened with GTA Online. That wasn't a launch thing.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
But yeah, so it's interesting. It is weird. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. And I think... I was a little dark on the game. Like, I wasn't... And to be fair, they were, too. They did not release much.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if it would have served them better if they actually had some press events and took the game to E3 so people could kind of see what it was going to be.
I mean, I don't know. They sold the second most of anything ever, so I guess not.
But you can already see online, there are some, like, people who are kind of like, you're so slow and boring. I don't like this. Like, more than you would think.
Yeah.
Like, at first, the conversation with, like, was kind of like some people getting mad at the one person who gave the game a 3 out of 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now the conversation is, like, they're mad that everybody gave this game 97s when it's not actually that good. It's like, what is it?
There's a middle ground somewhere. All right, so my expectation was it was going to be cowboys and look good. And that I got
I'll tell
that.
You what,
so.
It helps it so much that it is cowboys. Because, like, if this was, like, another space or fantasy game.
Right, who cares?
Like, who gives a
who
crap?
Cares?
It helps that it's a genre nut trial.
Now, here's the important question. What level of facial hair does your character have right now?
I like that two. Not full shaved.
No, see, I'm at a three. I need the two is too little. I need a little bit more
beard. I'm sorry you to play Red Dead now, Chris.
I'm dying to play it. I really am. Red Dead, the first one, is one of my favorite games ever. All right.
Yeah. So now that since we have Chris here, I want to ask him some rapid fire questions.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Chris, since you're sitting across from us,
yeah, people right.
can't
be
see.
Like an interview.
Chris, what's your favorite video game ever?
Wind Waker.
Oh, man. Did you think Breath of the Wild was maybe your favorite?
It started out as it until the end.
The end? It ends weak.
Yeah, it just ends weak. And
Breath of
the Wild is
my
Wind
favorite.
It has some slow moments in it.
But it ends
but the
so strong.
Is so phenomenal.
Isn't it? It's crazy how important that is. So many games are bad at that anymore. Like
but
having final.
So much time. Breath of the Wild. How many hours?
Yeah,
you
spend more time in it than you do with Wind Waker.
You want that satisfying ending, and you just did not get it in Breath of the Wild.
It was especially unsatisfying to me because for some reason I wasn't picking up on what I was supposed to even do until Zelda just had to scream at me like, "Use your leaf thing,
you idiot!"
And I was like, "Oh, thanks, Zelda. Thank you, game. I guess." I was like, "Why can't I just fight a thing?"
It's that bad trope where they feel like the final encounter has to be like. This completely new mechanic you've never done before.
I don't get that.
And what made Wind Waker great is it was a modification of a mechanic you had done.
Like something you're still familiar with.
Yeah, and it tweaked it.
Well, so much of that game was learning those B dodges, and at the very end, you have to use the B dodge to stab Ganondorf in the face.
Right.
It was
so good.
Great. I still.
Because
the greatest
you,
thing ever.
Were you with me when I beat Wind Waker?
Maybe, yeah.
I just remember screaming out loud, in the face!
So good. Because it's cool, because it almost turns into a cutscene, right as you push B.
Right as happens.
It's like this epic dodge.
The wind.
I feel the wind.
Yeah.
The
so
final
good.
Scene, you're on this platform, and the world.
The ocean's just crashing down.
The ocean is crashing down. This is a GameCube, man. The ocean is crashing. Is the most epic
thing.
I'm
getting chills now.
There aren't many things like that anymore, really.
Okay.
Red Dead Redemption 1, actually, also a great ending.
Yeah.
It just not finished it, though.
And Last of Us. I'd say Last of Us is up there.
All seven finished.
Last of Us pretty strong.
What? You haven't beaten Last of Us?
No.
And the first Red Dead?
No.
Oh my god.
First Red Dead is pretty bad.
Alright, Chris, what's the greatest console?
I was gonna ask that next.
Do you know the ending to the first Red Dead?
Yeah, I know where the kid comes
from.
Oh,
you kill me. Alright, next question.
What's the greatest console ever made?
Right,
no. These are standard questions.
Whoa. Don't attack my creativity.
Super Nintendo or PS2, I think.
I feel like those are the two answers.
Right.
Yeah.
They
almost
have to. I have soft spots for GameCube and Dreamcast. But I have a hard time saying that they're actually better.
Oh,
is it your personal favorite or what?
What's your personal favorite? Your personal favorite.
Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask me, I could only bring two consoles and all their libraries with me to a desert island, I'm probably going to say Super Nintendo and PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Switch is getting up there, though.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's only getting started.
Quick aside, I got that HDMI cable for my Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Did you play
good. The only, you have all the games, but
yeah.
I found one of those loose spindles of discs, and I was like, I bet there's a Dreamcast game here.
Oh, yeah.
And I found Frogger 2, which I haven't fired up yet.
I like Frogger 2.
But I found Daytona USA.
Oh,
I was like, oh my god, yes!
You broke my heart when I saw you opened that Dream controller.
Was in the box since the millennium.
It
was time.
I get
it. It was time. And it's great. It's like I have a pristine Dreamcast controller.
True.
It's so nice.
Dreamcast is so there's nothing never gonna be something like that. It's like such a great feeling.
I was trying to explain to my kids how great the Dreamcast was.
Did you have that go over?
I was like, guys,
they're three.
You understand. Choo Choo Rocket Power Stone.
Space Shuttle 5.
Oh my gosh.
When I was at the
Seaman,
I was at an anime con. They had some Dreamcast set up with Power Stone 2, and that was fun. Power Stone 2. I played it good stuff. Oh my god!
I remember watching you play Seaman for hours.
Oh god, that game was so weird.
Being confused the entire time.
Chris, what's the best movie ever?
Best movie ever: Back to Future 2 or Return of the King.
Those are both right. I was just thinking about how good Back to the Future.
You'd listen to the soundtrack show.
Yeah, I think those are maybe the two most right answers. Back to the Future 1 and 2 are pretty close, but I have a soft spot for 2.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like 1 is the better movie, to be honest.
Right, but 2 is just
because
it went to the future. And it's oh my god, flying cars!
I might still like Fellowship more than Return, but Return of the King, but they're all so close, whatever.
Well, you almost got Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, you almost got treated like one thing in a weird way.
I'll tell you what, you never just watch one out of context. You probably, I haven't watched these in a while, I'll start with Fellowship, and then you within that week, watch all three of them.
Speaking of, it's been a long ass time since I've seen this movie. We might be due for a trilogy
day. Ever since we did their Google family.
Yeah, because I have them, yeah.
I don't think I haven't done it since I had the drinking marathon with the extended editions one day.
Oh my god.
Drinking rules. It was the most my one friend had ever, seen anyone drink.
Who's
he was.
That?
I won't say names. You can guess, but he was not well the next day. Because after we watched it, we had so much fun. We just watched Gladiator afterwards.
Are you not entertained?
The first time I seen that movie, I was wasted. I enjoyed it though. What's the best Disney attraction ever?
Attraction?
Mm-hmm.
There's a very easy answer for me right now.
For you? For him?
I don't know if it's for you, but it's for me.
Well,
right now, Spaceship Earth is up there for
yes.
me. I'd probably say Spaceship Earth. All right, unless we're talking thrills or...
Whatever
did you get
you
to
want.
Take Abby on Spaceship Earth last time?
What's that?
Did Abby go on Spaceship Earth? Your,
no,
your daughter?
No,
for
she didn't do
daughter?
That. No, she didn't do that.
I'm saying Flight of Passage. I think that's the most incredible ride they've
I
ever made.
It's phenomenal.
I am at a point where... Like, as much as I love the more modern thrill rides, I don't know if any of them are my favorite ride. Like,
I don't know. Flight of Passage is...
It's still so new, though.
So
you just got to give it a few.
Flight of Passage is incredible.
I've done it on three different trips now.
I mean,
it's amazing.
I thought Harry Potter was was really up there, and then I got sick on it the last time.
No, that is probably my favorite ride ever.
I'll tell you what. Out of those kind, I still think that original Spider-Man ride is just incredible.
Oh, that ride
and once,
is amazing.
And
we waited 3 hours in
that
line.
If that ever does go, and it probably will, because Disney wants those Marvel rides so bad for theme parks.
Yeah, Transformers.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not a bad ride.
It's
actually
not a
pretty
bad
good.
Ride.
It's just
strange
that,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's strange that they put that right across the street.
Right.
What's the best theme park? You can only go to one for a day.
One for
out of,
a whole
and
day.
In the whole world, what's the theme park you go into?
Probably Epcot.
Epcot's so good.
I'll tell you what, Animal Kingdom is a
Animal
close
Kingdom
second when
there.
It never used to
it's
be.
It's still not a second for me, but
it's
I agree.
Close.
It's my second in Disney World. Well, maybe ever. But
I'd still say Disneyland. Original
Disneyland is really good. Yeah, that might be second. I said the tipping thing, like Avatar's been great. But the big tipping thing for me has been freaking the Nomad Lounge for Animal Kingdom.
So good.
Hey, new menu.
So good.
Oh, I did it.
Yeah, I was getting excited just reading it.
They have, I gotta have it. They have the cheese plate that they have that blue cheese is covered in honey.
Oh,
and they have those churros.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We'll get there. Don't
do you have a question for me, AJ?
You kind of took a couple I was gonna ask, but
I'm sure your favorite TV. What was your favorite TV show? Lost. You loved Lost.
Frasier.
Yeah,
there you
Frasier's
go. There
done.
You go. For
yeah, we get it.
White boy from the suburbs loves Frasier.
I watch it to this day.
And I tell you what, it is like the one. I'm a pretty white guy already, but one of my whitest things is how much I love Frasier. I can't get enough of it.
We just need to get some sherry in the house.
Oh my god! I was watching the episode where Niles and Frasier were like they got involved in the black market for caviar. I was dying. It is hilarious. It is so funny.
Oh god!
They treat it exactly like it's cocaine.
I know, it's so good.
It takes like
so
little like days. Like that's just tough.
Wait, the question is, how many times did Frasier say "Good God"?
Oh,
there's those, there's those rumors of a Frasier reunion. I'd be down for that. I tell you my idea.
People are so down on reunions, and I mean, I can understand it.
Here's what the new Frasier show should be. Frasier. So at the end of Frasier the series, he goes off
that. Yeah, for that.
So like something happened to her. They broke up, or she's dead. Frasier's kind of down his luck. Frasier has to move in with his son. Like Frasier's dad had to move in with him, right? So then it's kind of so Frasier's son is more like Martin. He's kind of easygoing. And Frasier brings in his like Amani like leather recliner, and he's like in the man cave.
Oh,
and he's like, "What
great.
Are you doing?"
That's actually pretty good.
Hire me.
I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
It'd be so good. They're like, you know, everyone else can still be there. You know, Niles can show up. They can just have to be in Seattle still. Oh, my God.
I love it. That's really good.
All right.
Let's wrap it up.
I guess so. Yeah.
You guys got a flight.
Pretty soon here. I saw the pack.
Yeah, the pack of laundry.
My pins.
You don't leave till Thursday. You were supposed to leave tomorrow. That's right.
What once do you have, like, a souvenir in mind for Disneyland that you want to get?
For Disneyland?
Yeah.
Probably another ornament.
I really want
to. I saw some nice ones that are coming out.
Oh, that makes me think of one more question I ask you. Best Disney resort.
Contemporary.
Really?
Temporary. That's not you
Grand
said
Floridian.
That, you said that so certainly. I didn't know Contemporary was on your radar.
Yeah, yeah. Temporary Grand Floridian.
Beach Club not even there.
See, for me, it's Beach Club or Polynesian.
See, I love Polynesian, but it's just not.
I'm really into Polynesian right now.
Here's why Polynesian's great. You get those rooms on the outer part where you're closer to the ticket transportation center. You have like the best monorail access of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that is true, but
I don't know. I used to be only like Tomorrowland aesthetic was the only thing that mattered to me, and then like once I went to Trader Sam's that first time, I have been all about that like Americanized tiki stuff.
The Trader Vic's,
right.
And the
the real like kitschy like stuff. I'm like,
well, that
really
that's what we need to get. For souvenirs is the
Hotbox. Oh, yeah.
So last year when we went, they had a lot of really good like Christmas sweaters based on Disney rides, and I didn't get one last year. I think I'm going to get one.
But anyway, here's the thing, though. For me now, Beach Club, that's
Beach Club
cool.
is so good.
And Epcot's right there.
Beach Club's my favorite.
Yeah. If I was going like on a trip with just my wife and I, it's Grand Floridian. Well, but like family and everything, Beach Club.
It's funny because it used to be a downside, like, it's you can walk to Epcot, but you're in World Showcase. Now I'm like, you can walk to Epcot, and you're right in World Showcase. Like, right. I'm like, screw those rides.
France is right there.
Give me my caramel corn and my beer right now. The patisserie. Tequila de la Coma. Coma de la Cata de las. They're in there somewhere.
I want that block of caramel again.
Right. Oh my god!
It's funny because everyone complains about Epcot, like, "Oh, Future World needs change." I like Future World the way it is, but like, they almost never change World Showcase. It's just so great. Like,
they never take anything away; they just add to it.
Really. Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Except the Maelstrom.
Oh no! What is there like one specific thing you're looking forward to on our Disneyland trip?
I'm excited to do Incredicoaster.
Just to see what it is.
Yeah, I'll wave at you as you go.
I'm excited to do Guardians again, just because I was kind of...
That was a cool line.
Did it last
that
time.
Was so funny when we went in that line.
I've never seen you react the way you...
My brain could not understand. Like,
you're
so,
not riding the ride.
You are not doing this. You're
so
fine.
Like I was like, the line's supposed to be cool, and it is. So I'm like, I'm going to go in line with you, and I'll just tell him I'm not going to go on the ride. My brain... did not understand. I was terrified.
I should have just pushed you in.
Because
I don't want to go on the ride.
Like, I was, like, I don't know what, like, I thought they'd be like, no, you have to go on. Like, you're in the line, sir.
You're committed. I'm sorry.
I was like, no, please don't.
Seatbelts.
Yeah, I was like, I was not well.
I know we should do it.
No, I couldn't.
You guys had to go to the Lamplight Lounge.
Yeah. We talked about that. We have one reservation.
Get in that secret room.
I tell you what. I need that corn dog. That red wagon corn dog.
So
that's
good.
All.
We need another day just to eat.
So I found out that like there's in Disney Springs there's like a food wagon kind of by that balloon that goes up.
Uh-huh.
And its whole shtick is that it has food from like other Disney parks around the world.
Do they have the corn dog?
They have the Disneyland corn dog. And I need it. I need to see how good it is. And people are probably like, how good could a corn dog be? These are
it's
the best corn dogs.
Damn good.
By far.
I didn't believe you. I was wrong.
You thought I was hyping it. No. It's insane how much better it is.
With how much you're hyping it, my expectations were low. They were met.
They were so good. And the beignets from the mint julep.
Oh, those are incredible. There's so much sugar.
I got to bring more of those back to Krista.
Yeah, I still don't get
that. She asked me for them today.
Oh, my God. I was like, get the beignet mix so you can make them fresh. I was like, she wants them from the park. But Chris, you're going to get home in 2 days.
It was the last thing we did before we left the park. And then we flew the next morning.
Oh, my God.
Ready to go.
How much powdered sugar was in your bag?
There was a lot.
bring some Ziploc bags.
We already discussed it.
I love your beignet strategy.
Well, I had it just in that white bag, and I asked them to double wrap it, you know.
Not enough.
I get home at midnight, and I'm like, here, Krista. It's like completely see-through at that point. And she was so excited.
Oh, my God. What?
Disneyland beignet.
What's the first Fast Pass we're getting? Is it Indy?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
Indy's
Indy.
A must.
Indy's so good.
I do like the Fast Pass system in Disneyland.
I've never done it since they have the new one. I've been there since they started.
It was so nice using it last time. Because as you did the ride, you were able to do another.
Yeah,
one?
Like once
right
you, once you, once like the time was up or something. So like whenever we were in the line, we were getting
line,
our next
we can,
one.
Yeah, we're in line. We can play another one.
I'm all about doing the Mark Twain now. I love that stuff.
I never used to get into that. And even on our last trip, I was.
Yeah, we're older and wiser. We loved it. We like a few moments to relax now. We have kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I heard
we'll do the canoes this
time. Yeah, I want to do the canoes. I heard that the top deck of the Mark Twain's been closed this last week.
That's too bad.
I hope it's open this when we're there.
Mm. Well, yeah, I want that because we'll get some good views of Galaxy's Edge.
That's true.
Man, it's crazy. You showed us that like somebody made like a 3D picture.
That's pretty cool.
I think it was BioReconstruct.
Yeah, and it's first off, it's crazy to see how close it is to the Muppets building.
I know.
And yeah, I didn't realize that.
And you can like see like those two like show buildings right next to each other and how they're like kind of hidden. You can see where the Millennium Falcon like model is gonna go.
Do you hear like in Toy Story Land, they're not really like doing much for hiding it. So like when people ask cast members, it's just you know, it's Andy's toy or Star Wars set.
Yeah, he's still building it. Yeah that's really good. That's really good.
I can't believe that's gonna happen soon. Next year, I feel like they've been building this like half my life.
Right. Everything's been leading to this moment.
All right, I think we're done now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Grove Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. We're on, we have our own, what's that, Discord group?
Yes.
Check that out.
Might be active in it.
Yeah, Mike.
I'll try.
Actually, go in there and say stuff.
Oh my God.
People at you, and like 4 days later, you're like, yeah, you should buy that game.
Don't at me, bro. Don't have me. I'm leaving them attack. Yeah. We'll see you next time right here. Splitting Real Pot. We'll have news from BlizzCon at Disneyland.
Oh, great.
Goodbye.
Bye.